Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
This is what I love about Ty. Is like we talk before the show, we catch up on stuff, and Ty and I we stay in touch throughout the years and during, you know, during the seasons and everything else. And it's amazing how there's we disagree on so many things, it almost makes it entertaining. But it's like, and then but I love that you try to convince me of things all the time. So Aaron Judge last night continues a season that feels like it's a continuation of last season. He hits two home runs, and then he robs a home run as well with another great catch at the wall. And he really has become that guy in the league where you can make the case for him as being the best player in the league. I mean, both leagues. Yes, he was AL MVP. But what he's doing, I always feel this year, Ty, so far as we are, have we even hit a quarter into the season yet? I mean, we're almost at 50 games, right, for the Yankees? I mean, I know some teams have hit 50 games.
Yeah, the Yankees have they've played 56 games.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, we're there. So, like, I look at it and I think, I love this start because all it does is tell anyone that wondered, last year wasn't a fluke. Mark McGwire said it. I think he can do this every year. McGwire said that about him. And the whole thing with Judge has always been staying healthy. But he, like, not just the home runs, the defense that he brings, the leadership aspect. There's so much about what he represents. He is the quintessential Yankee. And Aaron Boone talked about just how valuable Judge is to the Yankees.
Such a special player, obviously, that, you know, can just do things that no one else can, and fun to watch him do it every day.
It's more fun to watch him in a Yankee uniform. But I will say this, and again, I love everything about him. I love what he represents, Ty, all that stuff. But there's something you and I disagree on, and it is his place among the players in this league. He is one of the best players in baseball. That's easily said. I don't hesitate. I don't wonder if I'm going to get ripped for it. I don't think it's a hot take. None of it. It's just the truth. He is one of the best players in the sport. But that doesn't mean he's the best player.
Well, so you talked about last year's historic season for Judge. You remember us watching it. We're like, man, can't believe this is happening. It's the greatest contract season we've ever seen, maybe in sports history. Through the first 45 games, lower batting average this year, but higher OPS than last year, same amount of home runs, more runs scored, more RBI. So Judge right now, at least through 45 games, pacing a little bit better than he was last year. Now, of course, he dealt with a little injury, came back immediately, but he's just as good, if not better, than he was a season ago. So the question I pose to you, Alan, is if, let's just fast forward to the American League Championship Series, right? Let's just put ourselves in the ALCS.
Get to October, which is what I've said, is the only time of year that matters if you're a Yankees fan at this point. Unfortunately, the regular season is about watching players and just kind of maintaining what's going on with your team. But this right now is the apathy season. Don't get high, don't get low. You are literally, you're like, it's emotional abandonment with your team. Because we've lived through this already last year at this time. They were already like an insane record, and there was so much. It was too easy that you knew come October how was it going to pay off, and it didn't. So I look at this as this is the time of year that all that matters is October. So when we have these discussions, yes, let's fast forward to October when we do this hypothetical. So go ahead.
So the hypothetical is, like, you're in the ALCS again against the Astros, who you've now seen three times in the last, 6 years?
Yeah, too many times.
A team that you can't simply beat. And I guess to go back even further, four times in 8 years, because 15 the wild card game.
Right.
and I offered you the opportunity to, right before the series, trade Judge for Shohei Ohtani, do you make that trade?
Doing it.
You don't even think about it.
Doing it.
And simply because you think Shohei is a better player than Judge.
I think he gives you more. I think in a series against the Astros, I need starting pitching. He gives me that. I don't have it. Who am I depending on? Honestly, who am I depending on? Who's
Gerrit
healthy?
Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, and then who? Because it's a best of seven.
Severino. When he's healthy, he's awesome.
That's a big one. Rodon. I don't even know if he could throw. Montas. I mean, we got all we have.
Nasty
damaged goods. Can we trade for Jordan Montgomery? like honestly, I don't know who I have. So what I do know is I've got him. And one thing I know about Shohei Ohtani is he's a gamer. The problem is when he's with the Angels, he's never been able to show you that because they never play in any high leverage games. We had to wait to the World Baseball Classic to realize, like, oh damn, this guy's pretty good in the clutch.
But that's the problem.
That's why I do that, because I know he's a gamer and I need him to pitch.
But
and
you've
I also
never
know
seen him
when
in
he's
October.
At the plate,
you've never
he'll
seen
be
him
a
in
gamer too.
You've never seen him in October.
But I saw him in the World Baseball Classic playing for his country with all the pressure in the world on him, and he delivered big time.
We cannot pretend that is October. I'm sorry. We cannot contend. We cannot pretend.
You're
that
right.
That
we shouldn't pretend that it's just simply October.
For a world
that
championship.
It's more about your country and everyone in your country staring at you, saying you have to be great for us or you'll embarrass us. And he stood up to it, all of it.
No, that's pressurized, and it was the first time in his career we've actually
first
seen
high
him in pressure.
We've ever seen. Yes. So that's why I say it. It has nothing to do with. This is not hating on Judge. This is a decision you asked me to make, and I'm making it. I need the guy that can do two things for me. He can be an offensive production player, and he can hit, and he can pitch, and he can do both. That's why I say I do it.
But here,
it's the only reason why I say I do it.
I don't mind anyone arguing Shohei over Judge. Like, that is a legitimate answer.
It's fair.
What I take exception to is like you pretending like it's not even a conversation. Because I get the argument for Ohtani. Like, he can, in a series, be more impactful because he can pitch and he can shut you down on the mound while also being explosive, you know, in the batter's box. But for Judge, I mean, you talk about him hitting. He's doing it at an historic pace. Like, we're watching a guy in a two-year run. Like, I literally have never seen this before. It's one of the best runs I've ever seen. And by the way, it's not like Judge is just a one-way player. He can play a Gold Glove-esque right field, and it's like, all right, well, the Yankees, because of injuries, go out there and play center field. He could do that Gold Glove-esque too. So Judge is so phenomenal at, you know, base
and he's
running.
He's a red light arm.
He's not. Yes. You're not running on him in right and right. Center. He's the total package. You mentioned the leadership factor, and I know his October numbers aren't great, but at least this is not a guy who was just, you
but
know,
Ty, that's Ty, understand something. That's part of my argument. Again, you're asking me to answer a hypothetical. So this isn't one of these things that I'm sitting in an office making a decision based on everything and I'm taking my time. This is a hypothetical yes or no. And I gave you the yes. And the yes has to do with all the things that we just outlined. The fact that I am getting two things out of this one player. That's valuable to me in a playoff series. I need that in a playoff series. And then on top of it, I do know the clutch factor is there. And what I have not learned about Aaron Judge yet, and I want to get there, and I'm actually hoping to get there this October. That'd be nice, because we've been waiting long enough. I want him to have his Yankee moment. I want him his Yankee moment. Well, I want him to have the Tino home run. I want him to have the Jeter plays. I want that kind of thing. Bernie, I need him to have that moment, and then I can feel like, okay. But I don't know yet if Aaron Judge is a player that when we get into a playoff series – is can he be neutralized because nobody can pitch to him? And what else is he going to do? That happens too much. I worry about that.
No, I get it. And I think those are all valid. By the way, almost had his Yankee moment in that 2017 playoff series where he robbed the home run.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the Astros won it, so we didn't care. But again, I think what it comes down to and why I feel like I can make a strong argument for Judge is Is the totality of what he offers from an offensive production standpoint enough to overcome the fact that he can't go out there on the mound and pitch? Because we know he is stellar defensively. Mm-hmm. We know as a base runner, I know baseball is not all about stolen bases anymore, but it still can be a game-changing ability in a big moment in a playoff series. Does his total package, I guess you could hit buzzer there, does he offer enough from the offensive standpoint to overcome him not being able to be the dual threat that Shohei Ohtani is? And I think at his apex, it's possible he can offer that.
It's, again, we have to get to October to see it. And the problem is that after last year, he took it all the way to the end to get the American League record, to get the Yankee record, the home run record. And that was a lot of pressure in itself. That was him facing pressure and him having to be patient and wait for the pitches that a lot of guys weren't going to throw him because they just didn't want to be the one that gave up the record home run. He dealt with a lot. But when they got to the postseason, once again, it proved that the Yankees and the way they play was not enough to beat the Astros.
Yeah, but
and so I
they don't
just,
get to the postseason without him.
I understood.
I can't unsee him carrying this team that was lifeless in the second through the last 101 games. They were 50-51.
Yes.
I can't unsee the impact he had on that group, where it really was Aaron Judge or bust. Like, their probability of winning a game depended on his four at-bats. That's what they were drawing dead otherwise. Couldn't get hurt, couldn't miss time, couldn't take games off. Mm-hmm. Because if he's not out there playing defense and hitting home runs, they were drawing
dead.
They had zero shot.
That's why they paid him.
So I can't unsee that.
No, but that's why they paid him. And that's why they had to pay him. And there was no, by the way, they're not paying him for what he did in October and early November, because we haven't seen any of that yet. You're paying him for, A, what you just described, what he also is, totality, right, as far as the face of the franchise, a leader, and all these things that are just so easy to market and you'll make money off of. All those things are great. But in the end, you're paying him for the hope of what he can do, which is lead you to a championship, which you've waited way too long to win. That's the standard, which is why, once again, as I said, I've said this a million times, the Yankee season now is at that point where you are emotionless throughout the year. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. You just enjoy the daily of who's pitching tonight. And, all right, so Judge looks good. Hey, how does Volpe look? Okay, he looks good. Rizzo just got hurt. Oh, no. What's going to happen there? Like, you're following it just as a little story. But you're not emotionally involved. You can't be.
I got to
keep
it a buck.
Because you know the only part that's going to matter is when we hit October.
I got to be honest with you, because I don't disagree with anything that you said. But for us as a fan base, it is such an unfun place to be in.
Agree.
Where we now have to go through 162 games.
Yeah.
And at the end of the 27 outs, whether you win or lose, it's trying to gain perspective on what it means for the middle of October.
Ty, regular season at this point for the Yankees only means where are they seated in the playoffs. Because what we've learned is this team is always, every year, good enough to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, now that that's established. Like, some franchises, it's like, the Orioles are trying to make the playoffs. They're trying to make the playoffs. All right, the Blue Jays are trying to make the playoffs. It's a lot different than when you know already, start of the season, they'll be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something catastrophic happens to the lineup, and then you know, all right, they didn't make it because all these guys got hurt, or whatever it is. But you just expect to be there. So with that in mind, that's why I always push back on this thing about being spoiled fans. You can't enjoy a season. Your team wins 90 games a year and makes the playoffs. Yeah, I know. You just told me what I already know. They make the playoffs every year. So what are my expectations? To do what I expect them to do?
Yeah, I
no,
hate that.
No, it's to take it a step further.
I hate that.
I hate that too.
When it's like you are...
Oh, you're so spoiled.
You're
mad
spoiled.
That you lost in the ALCS. I am. Because I expect to do better than this.
As if Yankee fans woke up one day and decided, you know what? I think our mantra should be championship or bust. No, wasn't Yankee fans. You just watched a Derek Jeter documentary where all he, you know, he talked about was the years we lost. 97 right. really stings. 2001, yeah. 2004, should have won that year. This championship or bust mantra wasn't created by the fan base.
No.
It was the players. It was ownership. It was...
It's history.
It's the organization created
it's history.
That.
Yes. So, it's the history of the organization. This is just what we learned to expect this. And there's very few franchises in professional sports that have this. The Montreal Canadiens, they still have it, even though they haven't won in forever, right? But that's just the thing. They've won all those Stanley Cups. They have this rich history. And so their fan base has a high demand of what they expect year after year. And when they don't, they're not happy about it because that's just not the history here.
Alabama and college Alabama football is the same way. You think they're happy when they get to the playoffs?
Right.
They should be satisfied with
how
that?
How about
no.
not even getting in the top? How
exactly.
about
this year.
You didn't even get in this year.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing this year.
Of course.
Are you kidding me? So that's why the pushback. So that's why I say because it's been so long. Like 80, you have to understand too. 95, they made the wild card, the first wild card ever. They make it after the strike year that cost them a likely ability to play in the World Series. 94, they were the second best team in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It was them and the Expos. Like they were that good. Where they could have gone to the World Series, but the strike ended the season, and then there was no World Series. The next year, they have the wild card. They get in on a wild card, and this was more about Don Mattingly finally playing in a playoff game and the Yankees finally getting to the playoffs because that was all new.
Yep.
It was very difficult to make the playoffs back then because, you know, you could be – like the Yankees a lot of times were second place in the division. They didn't make the playoffs, but they were still a good team. So this was new, and that's why 95 was – that's the first time since 1981 that the Yankees were in a postseason, and it was this great feeling because things had changed.
And then you had the kids coming up, of
but
course.
Then you had, right, what happened after that, 96, 98, 99, 2000. Even though losing in 2001, losing in 2003, you're just in it all the time. Every year, you felt like we're in it. So what's happened since 09 is this feeling of all the excuses are gone. Like, you're in the playoffs every year. How are you not at least playing for a World Series?
So I think
they haven't done that in 14 years now. How is that possible?
Two things can be true, and the pushback you'll get on is, well, your team's in the playoffs every year. How aren't you satisfied? Why aren't you enjoying this? You could enjoy that, celebrate the fact that they're in the playoffs.
So it's a top three payroll.
But also be
always
disappointed.
Always one of the best players in the league
exactly.
on your team.
Exactly. When you are a top
There's
three
no
payroll
excuses.
Every year, you should make the playoffs every single season.
Right.
That would be embarrassing if you didn't. The problem is we've now seen half of the league. I actually looked this up. Half of the league has appeared in at least one World Series since the Yankees last did in 2009. Half the league.
Including the Mets.
Including the Mets. Half the league.
Yeah. Yeah, the Royals.
The Royals twice. Back to back.
The Royals
years.
Twice and won one in that time.
Back to back year.
The Rays.
The Giants. The Rays. They've been there. The Braves.
Like that's the other part
the
that really
Nationals.
Gets me. Yes. The teams that you know like don't spend and you're that again, that's why it's not you're not spoiled. Your expectations are to a certain level.
There's a standard.
And there is that standard that you in your mind say this is the Yankee standard. And I will hold you to that standard because that's what I expect out of you. And once I start saying, well, you know, this was a lot of fun, even though they didn't win a championship or they didn't even play for a championship. Like, if you're that fan, then you don't really get it.
But by the way, that would have been fine, you know, back in 2012 when they lost. I believe it was the Detroit beat them.
It was the Tigers, yeah.
Yeah,
and you were like, all right, it's
thing?
The end of the era.
Okay,
like, you just
yeah.
knew it was over.
It's okay. And yeah. in 2012, 2013, when you're just 4 years removed from a title.
What did I tell you in 2017? You remember that? You scolded me for it. You
oh,
were
man.
So mad at me for doing this.
I think
I will say this right
I think
now.
I blocked your number for like 3 weeks.
You
after
did.
The
yeah,
Yankees
you wouldn't even
lost.
Talk to me. You were right, though.
Because you tried to make the case that the 2017 was house money.
Yeah.
Because they were young, just getting.
I
you
felt
know.
Like there was gonna like this team. Because every team has that when you're a young team, you have to go through the pain of losing. You go in and it's like you think you're good. You make a run and then you hit that wall because you play a better team. And you're like, all right, that's what it's going to take to win. Okay, now we've learned. We'll be back the next year. How'd it go in 2018?
Yeah, they got bounced in round one.
Not good. Right, Red Sox, not good. So that's the problem that I had is that in 17 with that group, I thought Greg Bird, Judge obviously, Sanchez, Glaber, like it just in your head, you're like, this is a young core that's going to be there for a couple of years. This is going to be a good team.
We thought it was the late 90s all over again.
I'm telling you.
The point I was making to
you
was,
right.
Yo, it's so hard to win a championship. You never know when you're going to get back here. Injuries happen.
Right.
There's that year-to-year fluctuation of production.
Who knew that the Astros were cheating at the time?
Yeah,
I mean,
but
who knew?
But
who
look, the year-to-year thing, right, where it looked like Gleyber Torres was on his way to becoming one of the best players in baseball, and now it's like, Yankees might end up trading him at the deadline this year. Maybe. You just never know what's going to happen, which is why I was so emotionally invested. I was angry with you.
You were so mad.
Angry. Don't call it a house money. You cannot call being in the league championship series house money.
Well, I'll tell you what. So we'll table this conversation, but we'll take calls 800-919-3776 on the whole Yankee thing. Like I said, Judge has been phenomenal, and that's great to see. But in the end, we can admire what he's doing right now, but none of it can be, no pun intended, judged until we get to October. So while this is fun to watch, October is when it's going to matter next for Aaron Judge. There's no more records you have to worry about with him. There's nothing. There's just one thing. He doesn't have to win an MVP. He doesn't have to get another record. None of it. The last thing now, this will complete it for Aaron Judge. Got to win a title. Got to win a championship. That's what we're all waiting for now. And the question is can he lead this team to a championship? And also, by the way, would the Mets have been better if they just at least tried to offer him a contract? We'll have to get into that conversation later, Ty.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's been a fun first half of the show, but Ty understands this show. He knows where we are right now in the show. It's like our halftime. And right now, Ty, there's some pressure on you. This is one of two things that you have to do while Bart is out, that you really got to step up to the plate. You really got to show out. You can't be like the Boston Celtics, get us all the way here, and then lay an egg. So are you ready for your first assignment of the show?
Wait, I'm just getting back from the bathroom. Just sitting in my seat. Sorry, I'm late from the break. You got to explain that again.
No. Not going to do it, but you are definitely like following suit of anybody that's
I'm ready, man. I'm born ready.
Okay.
Hashtag born ready.
Born ready. So right now, it is time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
Dino, can I get a ruling?
Yo, the look on his face is that of disappointment. So I'm excited about this.
Yeah, it wasn't our best intro, but
you know what I mean. Like,
listen, Ty like, gave it his
he
own.
Was, he finette like it's like he was very he enunciated perfectly, but too perfectly.
Right, I tried to keep the spirit of Bart.
Yes.
But I still give it my own flavor.
A little spin. Yeah, a little something.
Ty just goes rogue.
Yeah, but he rogue in a, like, he sounded like Tyler. Like, I don't want Tyler you. Files. I don't want Tyler. I want Ty.
Bart's got some, like, vocal progressions that I simply can't get to.
Well, Dino, do you think we need to let him?
Let's try it again. You ready? Let's do it again.
No. I think you need to, like, again, hear it, and maybe tomorrow you'll get a second shot at it.
All right, let me hear it.
You know what? You don't have enough aggression.
Yeah, he's too happy.
Too happy?
Put aggression.
He's happily married. He's got the kids. We'll let Ty. Everything going well for you.
We'll let Ty do it again. He's going to put Tyler aside. He's going to bring the aggression and do audio files.
But it can't be too much. You don't want to be overbearing.
No, it has to be.
It's going
to
be you.
I'm going to be me.
You just got to, like,
let me get mad about something.
You say it. Say it like you're on the stage and you're about to introduce to a large theater of fans. Like, Chris Rock is about to come out.
Okay.
And you have to introduce him, right? Like, you want to let them know, like, it's time for this. Like, you know what you're getting. Chris Rock's coming out. He's about to, like, lay waste to everybody.
All ladies right? and gentlemen, here's Chris Rock.
Yeah, here's Chris Rock. Hey.
All right, let me think about game three of Lakers right. Nuggets and get angry. Here we go.
There you go. Get angry. It's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in this segment. We'd like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio Files.
That's a lot better. It's a lot better.
But now I'm just screaming.
It's all right.
I don't know.
I mean, that's really what
Bart does. Have you met Bart?
Exactly. All right, let's get into it. Let's see. Let us begin with, as you mentioned, I mean, you mentioned the Lakers, so they went out. So the Nuggets are in the NBA Finals. So are the Miami Heat, who held off what looked like a rally towards history by the Boston Celtics, who were trying to be the first team to come back from an 0-3 deficit, but lost Game 7 at home. But the bigger story now that the Celtics are done is what happens next, especially with Jaylen Brown, who after next season can walk as a free agent. Jaylen Brown was asked about his future. You tell me if he sounds like a guy that is locked into Boston.
I expected to win today and move on. That's what my focus was on. That's what my focus has been on. We failed. I failed. And it's hard to think about anything else right now, to be honest. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Cross that bridge when we get there. Not a lot of emotion there other than, well, we lost. And I understand that he wants to make that the focal point. But wouldn't there be a little bit, Ty? Like, just a little of, I'm not done here. We've got something to do. I believe in this. I want to be part of this. He didn't say any of that.
Well, he wants to give himself some leverage, right? Like, you're in line for, because of the All-NBA designation, a $295 million extension. My problem is the latest little piece of evidence on your resume reel was you going out there in the biggest game of the season and missing 15 shots. Yeah. And having 8 turnovers when Jason Tatum needed you, who was playing on a bum ankle. You're at home against an inferior team. This was when you were supposed to step up. This was when you were supposed to have your moment, like he did in the finals. He was excellent.
No, he was great in the finals.
He was great in the finals.
What you wanted, you didn't get, and as a result,
we failed. I failed. Oh, man. We let the whole city down.
And I still don't want to hear that, man. I would be angry if I were a Celtic fan.
Should be. Now, if you were a Celtic fan, you would sound a certain way, right? As we know up in that area. I love it when I go up there and I put on local sports talk radio up there, and it's just what you get from those fans is just, there's just, it's something different. It must be what we sound like when we flip out about our teams when our teams lose. But there's just something special about, of course, the New England accent. Something I have tried for years to use as a go-to. A lot of times, you know, I got a number. How do you like them apples? You know, like those kind of moments. So Charles Barkley on TNT gave it a shot over the weekend. Tell me what you think of his Boston accent.
I saw Annie at Fenway Park eating chowder on top of the monster.
No, not at all. Not
Try it one more time, Chuck.
Yeah. I saw Annie at Fenway Park eating chowder on top of the monster.
Yo, why are y'all doing this to this guy?
Come on, man.
What's his name, Chuck?
Annie.
The word you really had trouble with was my name.
Annie.
That's pretty
good. Can I go full Bart Scott here real quick?
please.
While we're on Charles Barkley, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
All right.
I saw Skip Bayless yesterday. He does a podcast.
Yes.
You know, Barkley hates Skip, and he said that if he was ever in a room with him, he'd kill him.
Okay.
So Skip seems to think that Barkley's envious of him in his position. Like, Barkley would love to be sitting in Skip's chair, which I found so comical. He's like, Barkley wishes he could be me and just say what he wants to say, and he can't do that in his seat, which obviously is like the antithesis of what Charles Barkley is. He just says what he wants.
How do you get, in this business especially, how do you get to a place like where Skip Bayless is?
You just troll your way there.
Well, that's not even trolling. It's having that irrational belief in who you are. Thinking that you are way, like, you're the guy that walks around thinking you're a 10 when the whole world is like,
You're three and a half.
You're like 3.5 best. You know what I mean? Like, and that's how you get that. That's how you make it in the business, is having that irrational belief in yourself. And that's what Skip has, and more power to him. All right. How about this story now as we move to baseball? Pete Alonso told this story on Foul Territory, which I wonder how many athletes have lived through this, have gone through this. But so Pete Alonso against the Reds had a first pitch, first at bat, home run. And we thought, wow, he's really being aggressive. He explains why he was so aggressive in that at bat.
I mistimed my pregame coffee, mistimed it. I had it too close to game time. And then I'm running, doing my sprints, and then I throw. In the middle of the first inning, I'm like, goodness gracious, this is not good. So I was hit the top of the second. I was leading off the inning, and I said, I don't care where this pitch is. This at bat is ending first pitch. Because I need to go. And then first pitch, I get a hanging slider, and then I deposit it in the seats. And then as soon as I touch home plate, it was like, it's straight to the bathroom. No high fives, straight to the bathroom.
That's like, awesome.
Literally in the moat. But I love how it was the missed time I pregame coffee. How many people? Because this is a thing that a lot of people do. I'm not a big coffee drinker, but I've heard like people do this. It's like you. First thing in the morning, you have your coffee, and you can time it almost to the minute.
It cleanses you out.
It cleans you out, Roto-Rooter. And if you drink it at the wrong time, and now you're sitting in traffic on the way to work, you got a problem.
So here's my question.
How many people have lived through that moment that Pete Alonso has?
This is how my mind works. So let's just say he hits that home run with two outs in the inning, and whoever's coming up next, let's just say Marte's next, swings at the first pitch, grounds out to shortstop.
Wasn't he the leadoff? Bottom line is this, is that I think it would have been funnier if he hit a ground ball.
Well, he had to jog.
Like, and he had to really sprint it out. And then let's say that he beats it out and now he's safe.
Or just has
a base hit and he's on first. And like the next at bat is like that 9-pitch, 4 foul off. And he's just like losing it, sweating it, like that.
No, that's when you go full Paul Pierce and fake an injury.
Oh, you have to.
You hit a grounder and you just go down immediately, grab the ankle, go to the dugout, take care of your situation, and then come back.
All right. How about this from, as we continue on audio files, how about this from DeAndre Hopkins? Because on Friday, Bart got hit, he was flipping out. The news came out that the Cardinals had released DeAndre Hopkins. They couldn't trade him, so he's now out there. They cut him, they release him, and teams can bid on him. So on the I Am Athlete podcast, talked about what he wants from a new team.
What I want is stable management upstairs. I think that's something that I haven't really had, you know, past couple years of my career, coming from Houston to being in Arizona. A QB who loves the game. QB who brings everybody on board with him and pushes not just himself, but people around him, and a great defense. I think defense wins championships. For me, I think that's the key. You got to have a great defense. You got to have a great D line.
All right, that sounds like the Jets to me.
I was just going to say, sounds like the Jets, stable management. I mean, all they did last year was draft the offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, quarterback who loves the game, Aaron Rodgers, all-time great, top five defense. Sounds easy to me. He wants to play for the Jets.
Although he did a thing with Bleacher Report where he just made facial expressions and they named teams. And so they said like the Patriots, and he gave the side eye like, nah. They said Bills. He looked at the camera and kind of nodded. Jets, side-eye. Same as the Patriots, side-eye Nat. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you hate about the Jets? So something to keep an eye on, but he can be signed by anyone right now. Who will it be?
He's going to go to Buffalo, isn't he?
God help us.
That's all right, last but
it's mood. All right. You got DJ, you got Sauce. I'm not worried about it. Last but not least, as if we didn't already know, did we need Le'Veon Bell to tell us, as the Jets are right now in this wonderful place? I mean, this is Shangri-La, right? Like, this is it. This is Camelot. Aaron Rodgers, this young defense, this young team, Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas. Like, it just feels like this is as healthy as the Jets have been in well over in a decade, at the very least. And Le'Veon Bell just wanted to remind us, not too long ago, things were a mess.
Bro, we get to New York, and that's why I instantly find out, oh, head coaches make a huge difference. Huge difference. Like, as soon as I get to New York, I find that out, like, the first week. Bro, it's like, I knew it was going to be a battle. I knew it was going to be an uphill battle. I knew it. The team wasn't that great, don't get me wrong, but I feel like if Coach Tomlin was coaching that team, we win 9 games at least. But it's like to the point where it's like Sam Darnold is like, don't even know like the actual protection or what the line's protecting because he's so confused about our offense because the coach is confusing him. The play calling was terrible. It was a lot of things that were not going the way that obviously should have been going.
Now, of course, the head coach he's talking about, Adam Gase.
Oh, Peyton Manning special.
Thank
Can we just
Peyton,
do next
right?
this next time? Next time Peyton Manning's number comes up on the you know on the call screener, just not answer it.
Go right to voicemail
because he screwed us over once too many times.
I mean, by now Peyton Manning's number at Florham Park should be blocked.
That was like, the worst coaching hire probably in franchise history, and it's not even close.
And Rich Kotite once coached this team.
Like, yeah,
think about that.
But you when you consider
the
what
the
what,
worst coaching hire in the franchise's history, and there have
1-15,
been some
doozies. Yep, 1-15, Kotite. But yeah, when you consider what Gase was tasked with doing as far as Sam Darnold's growth and development, and how he just completely destroyed that, that was the worst coaching hire of this franchise. Not even close.
Now coming up, there's something else that Le'Veon Bell said that. It makes what he just said about Adam Gase even more mind-blowing. We'll get that coming up and more conversation on the Jets and just, again, the comparison of where they were and where they are now in a matter of 4 years is really something. And that cut right there from the Steeler of a Steel Here podcast with Le'Veon Bell, just a little reminder of just how good things have gotten around here. All right, that is Audio Files.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I did get a guy called Vino Professor.
Okay.
Who said, from Wikipedia,
mm-hmm.
In sports, a dynasty is a team or individual that dominates their sport or league for an extended length of time.
Yeah, you just created that whole three-peat.
First of all.
Wikipedia
is where we're going here.
I mean, Wikipedia is
we're going good. To Wikipedia for like information that we're using as fact.
Wikipedia has some gems in there.
I mean, Wikipedia can be edited.
Like if you go to Alan Hahn on Wikipedia, it says Alan William Hahn. Your middle name's William?
Yes, it is.
So Wikipedia's correct. Born June 19th. Your birthday's coming up.
It is.
You're going to be, what?
Yeah.
Let's do a quick math here. 52?
Yep. Yeah.
Sports talk show host on ESPN Radio. Got to update this. Regularly can see him on Get Up, First Take, MSG.
Mm-hmm. That's on there?
Very young picture of you. No, it has ESPN Radio.
Get Up stuff is on there?
No, it has ESPN Radio and MSG. I'm saying we need to update this because...
How do you do that?
You're like a Get Up co-host now.
Who does that?
Every time I contact
Wikipedia and tell them to update the profile?
Yeah. Every time I turn on ESPN, I'm looking at Alan Hahn. Can't get enough of you.
I can't get enough of me either.
Get Up, First
but
Take.
I found that very interesting. Wikipedia is saying this. when we all know that a true dynasty is consecutive years.
No.
Let's just be honest.
You said three straight
consecutive years
qualifies as a dynasty. Then that means the Patriots dynasty never existed. The Warriors weren't a dynasty.
It's a great run. I don't know about dynasty. Anyways, do you want to hear more from Le'Veon Bell?
Let's do
because it. Because him referencing the abomination that was the year that he was there, really year plus, but he barely lasted the second year. But he just talked about how showing up with the Jets, and he's like, that's when I realized that coaching is everything. Him saying that is great. That Mike Tomlin, obviously, what he missed from him when he had to deal with Adam Gase on a regular basis, and that Sam Darnold just was clueless. He had nothing going on because he had nobody showing him what he needed to learn. Which, by the way, when you look back, Sam actually wasn't that bad. Like, it really does blow your mind. You're like, yo, like he was going through that. He really wasn't that bad. Anyways.
And then when you see what we just had and what we got rid of.
Well, yeah.
It's like you get into that next relationship and you're like, you know what? My ex wasn't that bad.
I mean, he was seeing ghosts. You know, we all see ghosts every now and then. But speaking of apparitions.
You don't get mono sometimes. You know?
Le'Veon Bell also had this revelation about what he would do before games.
Misconception about me with the whole weed thing. But, like, looking back on this, like, bro, like, that's what I did. Like, you know, when I was playing football, I smoked, bro. Like, even before the games, I smoked. And I'd go out there and run for 150, two tubs.
In the NFL?
Like, yeah.
Man, if I had to play for Adam Gase, I would be inebriated every game. Plastered.
Blows your mind, doesn't it? I wonder how do you function?
Yeah, I don't get it. I'll go to the gym sometimes, and guys are just hotboxing in the car right before they work out. I just don't understand. I don't judge people. Do what you got to do to get yourself in the right frame of mindset. I just don't understand how that works.
I had two teammates in college that used to just like completely light. They would light up before practice because practice was miserable. You know, it was because our coach was tough. And these two, for some reason, just thought it was a good idea that they'd get through it easier if they just light up. So I remember one practice, they just went a little too far. And I was coming back from the first knee of several knee surgeries that I had to deal with. And so I was trying to make a comeback from it, and I was putting in extra work. And these two, they had the giggles. And they couldn't shake them.
Oh, man.
It was awful. So they were trying to get away from the coach. So they were going down the other end of the gym, like shooting on a basket. And I'm by myself. I was doing my rehab. So coming back, like, do make a play. So they're watching me. And for whatever reason, they just had to.
Could not stop laughing.
So I make a move. Like I'm doing my rehab and I had to like cut. And when I cut, my leg went one way and my knee went the other. And like, you know, we're talking about just another explosion of ligaments. Like, and it was painful. I mean, painful.
And they were laughing at you?
I was on the floor writhing in pain, and the two of them were standing over me, hysterical. Like, I'm talking about as if like that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. The way they were laughing was uncontrollable. Like, you know, I did some kind of slapstick comedy that entertained them, and they wanted to see more.
Who are these? Who are these guys? Let's hear names.
No, I'm not going to give names. I'm just saying.
It's that just us
I'm
talking. Looking, no one's listening.
And I'm like, I'm laying there in pain, and I look, and the trainer runs over, and he's like working on me and stuff. And I'm looking over at these two, and they're hyenas just cackling, and I'm just looking at them like. It could almost like calm me down because it was just funny to me to see them laughing
see,
so
no,
hard.
I would have been angry. If you're doing all you can to recover from this injury,
but you had
you
to see them laughing. Like they were hysterical laughing.
That's like me. I walked into the control room and Joe Leo is just dying laughing. Maybe he's
well,
high.
Your audio files was.
No, the second rendition was better.
It was all right.
That's funny.
It was better.
Let's go to Earl out in Anaheim. Earl, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right.
Hey, Alan, I just wanted to say, how are you going to forget the Bulls dynasty? 6 and 8 years, man. That's way before the Lakers, 3 in a row.
But it's 3 and 3. That's a dynasty. What do you mean way before the Lakers? Yeah. What did the Lakers do from 2000 on? How many did they win?
They won 3. And then
right, there's your dynasty. There's your dynasty.
Then they went to garbage. The Lakers, I mean, the Bulls won 6 out of 8.
No, years. Alan was saying that was the last dynasty.
Yeah, we're both saying the same thing.
The last dynasty.
We're saying the same thing, Earl.
Okay, all right.
3 in a row.
Yeah, right, no.
Yeah, we were saying the same thing. Okay, as long as we have that understood.
Earl clearly having hearing issues.
Yeah, you know, listener retention is always very important. Jose in Brooklyn. Jose.
Hey, good afternoon, Ty and Highland. How's it going?
Good.
What up, baby?
All right. Just wanted to go out there, and I'm definitely going to promote Ty. Definitely needs, you know, more airtime on this radio station.
What are you, his agent? Definitely. I mean, you know.
Like, let him talk. He's got a lot of
time when we can get him.
He's got a lot of things, a lot of nice things to say. You go ahead, Jose.
Exactly. You
pour your heart
out, buddy. Thank you so much. As far,
I need to know, though, Ty, who's in your way, like, on week? There's a lot of shifts on weekends. Where are you?
Apparently not enough. I don't know what's happening.
Who does the world need to hear more than you on the weekend?
Hey, Alan, I'm going to drop a little thing.
Network.
As a person that listens to the radio station, I don't have time to listen to a podcast that happened 3 days ago.
I get that. I wish more people thought like you did, Jose, and listened live.
Oh, definitely.
Preferably.
So just to give you my points, because I know we're about to get to the power hour and everything.
No. There's no clock that stops us. Understand?
Oh, okay.
The clock means
right,
nothing
so.
Here.
So the one thing I do got to say is you know, Ty, I could tell you're an avid listener. The breaking dish comment is something that Bart says all the time. And that's kind of what we miss about Bart.
Do you guys just want me to be more horny on the air?
That's what you want phrasing?
I mean, I'd prefer, you know, maybe not, but okay. Hey, look, if that makes you better, then go for it.
And I do agree, and just as my last point, because I do agree with the dynasty talk. As far as the dynasty, to me, I always grew it up with as far as three in a row. And football, to answer your question, football, Ty, was kind of always given that excuse because no one has ever done three Super Bowls in a row. So that's kind of, you know, where the hang-up comes from. But just like you said, Alan, when it got to the Spurs being called the dynasty, that's where I started losing my mind. Because in no way you can have a dynasty.
Every other year doesn't make you a dynasty. It means
you win every other year. And then not only that, the Lakers did a back-to-back with the Kobe Gasol years throughout that time.
And they went to three straight.
So that's kind of why, you know, I would never really call them a dynasty. So that was it. And as far as the Jets, I know you guys are not going to like it, but to me, the Jets are still the same joke. It's just, you know, the ringleader owner just made up by getting Aaron Rodgers. So hopefully we can get that.
What a terrible thing to say.
I'll tell you, a nice call.
I'm sorry.
Jose, a nice call from Jose.
You just ruined it at the end.
It's like he hung out, had a nice time at your party, and then... you know, wrecked your house right before he walks out.
Oh, it's like we shattered
your window on his way out.
We get back from a nice night out, and then you tell me it's your time of the month, and now it's we can't even have any fun.
Phrasing.
I mean,
that's an awful way to end a phone call.
There's a different way to look at that, though, Ty. I mean, there are some very interesting
ways to still get the
options.
Hey, phrasing.
Doesn't always have to end that way, if you think about it.
There's a famous question about, like, asking about mouths and, like, actions that...
So we're just done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore?
I'm just saying, you know, like, we're all in this together, and sometimes you take one for the team.
You know what I'm getting at, though.
Of course.
By the way, you know what the producers should start doing?
What's that?
Playing your little game about the clock? Just timing it early enough where you think you're going past the time, but you're actually not.
No, exactly. Like, mess with my head.
Just mess with your head.
Change the clock, why don't you? But it is time because the Power Hour is coming up next.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.